Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome in. Grant and Danny on the air on 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you hanging out with me as always. No Danny Ruye today. His vacation is continuing. He'll be back in the saddle soon after the new year. College football bowl games continuing. Getting closer to another weekend of the NFL Week 17. Redskins putting the finishing touches on their campaign in East Rutherford against the Giants. They'll get a chance on Sunday to do what they couldn't do last year, which is end the season beating New York. Had they have done it a season ago, I think a lot of the discussions that we have about this team right now would be very different. A lot of why people are down on the organizational structure and maybe direction, down on Jay Gruden, perhaps Kirk Cousins as a couple key pieces, are that the Redskins didn't finish the season strong enough last year. They didn't beat a bad Giants roster that day because the Giants, who were en route to the playoffs, weren't playing and caring, and their starters were watching on the sideline. It was just a bunch of backups, and you still couldn't win that game. They got a chance to make amends this week in Week 17. 1 year later with so much less, obviously, at stake. A lot to get into on the show today. I'm going to cover, among other things around the NFL, Earl Thomas of the Seattle Seahawks telling Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett after the game on video as Garrett's walking into his locker room to come get him, meaning to sign him. And I want to localize this by asking you what you would do if a Redskins player of note. I'm not even sure that they have someone of Thomas's caliber in terms of a comparison because he's one of the best players in the league at his position. Maybe it would be a Josh Norman or a Ryan Kerrigan, one of the best players on this defense, clearly. Was seen on video after a game, after getting a big contract extension here in Washington, to go up to an opposing coach and say, hey, come get me, as if to say, I want to play for you. And then after the game, and we'll play this audio for you coming up later in the hour, he's asked about it, and his answer may have been dumber than actually going up and talking to Jason Garrett. It's one thing to be caught on video going up and saying, hey, come sign me. It's another thing when you're asked about it 10 minutes later to have nothing to say and to basically make the situation worse. So I want to get into that. Next hour, I want to talk Jimmy Garoppolo. The amount of burying and crowning quarterbacks in this league based on a couple of week samples is infuriating to me. I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I love what I have seen. The dude looks like he can play. But if you read some of the stories being written around the country about him right now, I've seen people ranking him like in the top five in football among quarterbacks. I have seen people saying that San Francisco has to pay him $27 million a year right now. Remember, Kirk Cousins had a tremendous 2015 season, and the Redskins didn't want to pay the player $19 million a year at that time because it was a small sample. We don't know. We just got hot for half of a season. Garoppolo will have basically played five games in San Francisco. You got people advocating for paying him top shelf money and making him one of the highest paid players at his position. But this is what we do now. If you're great, even for a very short time, then we have to say that you're one of the best. And if you're terrible, even if it's explainable by way of injuries or a team around you not performing or you're just going through a cold stretch, a rut, everyone has those, then you're bad again. Like, look at Derek Carr right now. The amount of people at the end of last season that were claiming victory and taking their laps and spinning their tires and jumping out doing their backflips on the track after winning the Derek Carr debate, if there was one, about, oh, I told you, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Now, all of a sudden, I'm watching Christmas night football. Derek Carr looks like a backup who's getting pressed into duty without first-team reps in the middle of a season in which he has been poor for the most part. His numbers in the end will be okay. 3,400 yards, probably 22 touchdowns, 13, 14 picks. You know, rating in the mid-80s. And we're acting like Derek Carr stinks. So I guess last year, when he had 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns and 6 interceptions doesn't matter anymore. Or the year before that, when he had 32 scores, 13 picks, and threw for almost $4,000 as a kid quarterback, well, that's irrelevant. Dude's got a four-year sample in the league, and we're just choosing, because it's the last thing we've seen in recency effect, to look at the last month and say, he's awful. I don't understand why we do this. And we don't do it at every single position, by the way, really. We do it with quarterbacks. We are so reactionary. But I want to talk about this next hour. So we'll get into that, as well as a topic I hit on with Kirk Cousins when he was on the show yesterday about the random Redskin whose role has grown this year, who's been elevated from maybe a bench player to a starter, or from someone not on the roster to getting run, who you think might actually be a fixture here for the next few years. That is the one good thing that can come from a season like this one, which means you're playing irrelevant football in December where you've had 20-plus guys placed on injured reserve. You really do have to tap into your depth. You got to start digging way deep underground and find a few players just to get you through the season. But occasionally, you're going to unearth a gem. You're going to overturn some stone that may end up being a player who can work for you here for the next few seasons. And I think in the case of Capri Bibbs, maybe Chase Rouye, among others, I think the Redskins have found a couple guys like that. So those are some of the things I want to hit on the show today. Before I get into my opening topic, I should remind you that it is two shows after a Redskins game, normally on Tuesdays, but because we didn't come in on Monday for Christmas, today we're going to play Redskins Survivor. We are down now to 3 Redskins remaining, and by the end of the show today, we will only have 2 Redskins still on the island going into the final game of the season. Last week, you guys spoke, and now with just 2 Redskins remaining because of immunity pushing forward Kirk Cousins, we're going to see who he's vying against at the end of the year. I'll make my votes on Redskins Survivor. We'll post for you on Facebook.com/Grant and Danny, and I'll let you go vote as the day continues. Here's where I want to start the show, though. After the Redskins beat the Broncos handily 27-11, it's actually a 24-point game before a garbage time touchdown. Kirk Cousins, off to a slow start, was 1 for his first 8 passing, lit it up in the second half, threw for 3 touchdowns and a yard shy of 300 yards. In a game that was, in some ways maybe, an audition of sorts for him, John Elway in the building, the Broncos front office evaluating him as a passer. They're going to be in the market probably for a veteran quarterback this offseason. Their best player and the leader of their locker room is Von Miller. Von Miller, after the game, was very supportive of what Kirk Cousins has become, was very candid in talking about how good of a player he thinks Kirk Cousins is, and he didn't necessarily need to be. I've got a small clip of what was a much larger conversation and monologue from Von Miller on Cousins. But here is what the star outside linebacker, one of the best defensive players in the league, had to say about the Redskins quarterback postgame.
You know, I'm with everybody else. You know, like I said before, you know, a lot of teams, you know, literally kill, you know, to have a quarterback like that. And, you know, the list is long, you know, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge whenever we get to it.
He would also say he was on fire, talking about how tough it was to defend him. He said, Kirk is a great quarterback, and you heard him there, the money quote, a lot of teams would kill to have a quarterback like that. The list is long. The Denver Broncos are obviously on that list. Here is the question I want to pose to you. Do you care what opposing players say about Kirk Cousins? Or should we care about what the really good players on the other side of the ball say after games about Cousins? Von Miller is the latest of an example of several Pro Bowl caliber defensive players this year who have come out after a game and said, that dude is really good. Because I'm going to surprise you a little bit, I think. Generally, I do not care about what players say on the record about their opponents. You see this before games all the time. Joe Gibbs was the king of this, but Bill Belichick is now the prince, I would say. Coaches put their opposition on a pedestal all the time. They talk about them as if They're special. They're elite. They're some unique talent. When really, it's just you're playing the Bills this weekend, dude. Now you're playing the Browns. Let's not act like they've got a 1985 Bears defense and the best offense in the league. So sometimes players are just going to jock a guy for no reason. But I think this is different because, one, I believe the question was phrased about Cousins' future and the rumors about Denver possibly being a suitor. Two, Von Miller knows that everyone in Denver, every single day over the last couple weeks, is talking about the future at quarterback, and Cousins' name comes up on every radio show they do and every TV segment they do. So you know that as the leader of a defense and one of the most popular players in the locker room, your words are going to be portrayed as how you feel about the idea of going and getting Kirk Cousins. Not to mention, you also know that Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch are going to hear what you're saying about Kirk Cousins. So you don't really have all that much inspiration, motivation, need to endorse him the way that Von Miller did. If I was Mike McCartney, the agent for Kirk Cousins, and I'm sending around a packet to some potential teams if the Redskins grant me transitional free agency, you know what I'm going to do? At the very beginning of whatever video I put together with all the film and the highlights and the stats, just like you did when you played high school football and you sent it around to different colleges, I'm going to start that video with guys like Von Miller saying he was on fire, Kirk's a great quarterback, a lot of teams would kill to have a quarterback like that. With guys like Chris Harris, the corner, saying, yeah, he's a really tough guy. I know I'm the best corner in the league, potentially, but to deal with him and to know where he's throwing the football, the way he spreads it around, I would make that part of my sell if I'm McCartney. Not like he's short on ammunition, because he could just present all the stats of the last several years, and the conversation kind of ends there about what his client is worth. But I want to know from you guys, and I'll play the clip again in a couple of minutes from Von Miller and some of the other audio we've got from other guys who have said things about Kirk. But for a player to come out who plays on the opposing team after the Redskins handle them and to praise Washington's passer the way that Miller did, when you know people in Denver are saying, would Cousins be a fit here? Is it just a guy saying a nice thing who's a pro at the podium? 800-636-1067. Or do you take it as more than that? Do you care what the Redskins' opponents say about Cousins? When you hear Harris or Miller or other guys this season telling you this dude's really, really good, does it change in any way how you feel? Because I've always said that part of an evaluation and knowing what a guy is what is a defensive coordinator? What do other players think about playing that guy? I promise you there weren't Redskins players advocating about how great Brock Osweiler was after Sunday's game just because they could. Grant and Danny, no Danny today. We'll get to your thoughts on this next. 800-636-1067 on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Danny's on vacay. Hopefully many of you guys are still enjoying the holiday. Have the day off as well. For those of you grinding away at work, we'll keep each other company. It was a quiet day around the office yesterday. I'm assuming we're a little bit back closer to normal business on the other side of the building today. But it was kind of nice just roaming around. Nobody, no noise, doing whatever you needed to do. No distractions. Kind of dig it. The best thing about working when other people aren't is that you don't have to deal with traffic. You're just driving by yourself to and from the office. It makes you wonder, what would it be like if I just lived in a place where there were less people all the time? Kind of feels cool. Von Miller on Kirk Cousins after the game on Sunday was very complimentary of the Redskins quarterback. Here is what the all-pro pass rusher had to say.
You know, I'm with everybody else. You know, like I said before, you know, a lot of teams, literally kill, to have a quarterback like that. And, the list is long, but, we'll cross that bridge whenever we get to it.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it because I can't really say much more because I still have teammates who play quarterback and are starting next week, and he's not on our team. Sounds like a guy that would be interested in the possibility of settling it up as a teammate of Kirk Cousins next year, strapping on the pads alongside number 8. Do you care what opponents think about a player? That is my question. 800-636-1067. I would generally advocate for you to say no. You shouldn't really take anybody's opinion publicly when they're being interviewed by the media about either their teammates, their personnel on their team, or even the opposition as gospel. Because I've been in way too many press conferences where you ask Jay Gruden or you ask Mike Shanahan or any other coach for that matter, hey, what do you think about this guy? The next coach who doesn't put someone over on the opposing team will be the first. You go into a Broncos game and you say to Jay Gruden this week, what are you seeing from Brock Osweiler? There's zero chance that he's going to come out and say, yeah, he's just not a guy you can win a whole lot of games with. He's not very good, doesn't throw the ball accurately, kind of runs around like a giraffe, too tall and awkward, lanky, has a long throwing motion, doesn't get the ball out very quickly. You know, I'm just not a big fan of his. I think he kind of stinks, and I think he's made it real tough for them to win football games. That's not really what coaches do when they're asked questions about players. Instead, he'd say something like, look, it's been a tough season for them, but I think he's keeping them afloat. He's playing real hard. I mean, you're going to be overly positive as much as you can. I just think this one's a little bit different for a few reasons. One, it was after the game. Two, Von Miller knows the score. I did a radio hit with Tyler Palumbis last week. Longtime Redskins offensive lineman. Came on mine and Danny's show here in D.C. But then he had me call into his show in the morning last week at one point out in Denver. And basically the entire conversation surrounded Kirk Cousins and his future. And at that time he was kind of telling me, dude, there is growing momentum here for people wanting to go get him. And it's really all people are talking about. So this is a really big rumor that the Broncos are very interested. And it seems like a fit. You think Von Miller doesn't know something like that the week that you're playing that guy? Of course he does. So he could very easily have kind of punted and said, yeah, I'm not really going to talk that much about Kirk. We didn't play well enough to win today. He's a good football player, and good luck to them next week. We got to go win week 17. He didn't do that. This is not some random scrub you've never heard of. This is one of the best defensive players in the league. That also matters to me. Logan is in Denver. What's up, Logan? How are you?
Hey, doing all right. How about yourself?
Very well.
All right, cool. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and chat about your comment, and you kind of just took what I was going to say, but it's not only about what he says, it's who he is. You know, I mean, he's not a third string linebacker that's coming in. He's arguably one of the best linebackers playing the game right now. And for him to say those comments unwarranted, I think that says great things about Kirk, and I'm an advocate of his, Kirk. And for all those people that, for whatever reason, think he's not a franchise quarterback, I mean, I think the comments that Von says definitely proves and kind of reiterates that he is a franchise quarterback, and I think the Redskins should sign him before someone else does.
Are you streaming in Denver? Are you out there right now?
Yeah.
Skins fan, Broncos fan?
Oh, Skins, 100%. Born and raised Southern Maryland.
That's awesome. I guess my curiosity while I have you on the line real quick is, do you hear what Palumbis was telling me is basically constant, the beating of the drums for Cousins out there?
I mean, I've got a lot of friends out here that want him out here. Broncos fans, you know, and it's just tough because I don't want to see him go. But then if he does come here, I get to see him every Sunday, which I can't complain about. I'm a fan of Cousins. I'll follow him wherever he goes. But I really want him to stay in D.C. But he's definitely got a lot of fans out here in Denver.
Appreciate the call, man. I look at that team as really close. Even this weekend when they had no chance against a mediocre Washington club on a holiday at the end of the season with nothing on the line, you play really good defense. They'd given up 13 points through three quarters. You win that game 90% of the time in this league. They rushed for 6 yards per carry with their tailbacks. They've got Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas on the outside. This is a team with pieces, with weapons. Their front office going into this year was considered one of the smartest in the league. I mean, everyone loves Jock and John Elway. This is a starter kit for a roster that you plug a quarterback in can get a lot better really quickly. So I understand why there is an infatuation with Cousins out there. Ben's in Hyattsville. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, you know, I mean, take the position that you asked us to take, which is it doesn't really matter what he says to the media. I'm not really sure it matters what he says to the media per se, but that was, in fact, an invitation for a follow-up phone call or text.
Yeah.
And that's what really matters.
You know, I hadn't thought about it that way. That's actually a really intuitive call, because if you're Cousins, you take note of this kind of thing. There's no way that doesn't get back to you. You got a brother that follows everything. You know, you got buddies that are big NFL fans. Someone at some point over the holidays is going to say, dude, did you see what Von Miller said about you? Because he's a big enough name. It's a big enough deal. No disrespect to Kirk Cousins, who's a really good quarterback and one of the highest paid players in the league. But it's still kind of cool when a guy like Von Miller says, yeah, he's a beast. So someone's going to mention that to him. And next thing you know, if you do hit transitional free agency and there's a bunch of teams vying for your services, Denver's one of them, maybe Von Miller sends you a text. You remember, oh, this dude was really good to me. Starts a relationship. Like Kirk and Josh Norman are really, really close. Norman would text Cousins right after the season about, you know, let's get back to working out. I trust you. You're my guy. I got faith in you. You're the franchise passer. I don't care what happens this offseason. Let's go to work. They got a great rapport. You want that with the star of your defense if you're the quarterback. Rick in D.C., what's up?
Yeah, I really didn't care what Von Miller had to say, because at this point, the Washington Redskins have so bungled this Kirk Cousins situation that it's time for him to go. I love Kirk. Kirk is going to be with, I mean, if he stays, we're going to be 8-8, 7-9, 9-7 because of the money. We need to take that money, that $34 to $40 million that we're gradually building towards, and start investing that in getting a good defense, running backs, and build a quarterback from the draft.
Thanks for the call, buddy. It's a smart one. And look, it is harder to win when you pay your quarterback close to $30 million a year. And that percentage, more importantly, of the salary cap, which goes up over the next several years, obviously, and so the money will be more palatable as you go. It would be wrong and incorrect for anyone to sit here and tell you that it is not more difficult to win the more you pay one player. Of course it is. But the notion that you can't win or that you have a one-way ticket to 9-7 is also incorrect. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who spend 61% of their salary cap on five players, including, by the way, most of them on offense, their quarterback, their running back, their wide receiver. That's Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown. And then you look at, like, their center, Pouncey, who makes big money. Their guard, DeCastro, who makes big money. That's 61% of their salary cap. You know what? They still have arguably the best defense in the NFL. Want to know how? Because they draft brilliantly. Because they scout sensationally. Because they groom their talent the way you're supposed to. So you've got to be good. You can't be a bad front office. You can't not be good at drafting and developing. I'm not saying it's easy. But everyone just sits here and throws their hands up and goes, oh, you're paying your quarterback a lot. It's a lot of your salary cap. You can't be good. No. Look around the NFL. Great organizations pay their quarterbacks. All the guys in the conference title games last year, other than Brady, whose wife makes $44 million a year, are $23, $24 million type quarterbacks a year on that cap. So you forecast that out percentage-wise, that's upper 20s this coming year when it expands another $10 million. Why are they still good? Because they're actually good at drafting and putting players in places to succeed, like Pittsburgh. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I was told this story yesterday. I had to go back and research it last night. I didn't know anything about it. I love it so much. A star NFL safety caught on camera telling a coach he played against to come sign him, even though he's under contract. What would you do if a Redskin did this? I'm Grant. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. No Danny today. Just got a update, pretty cool news, that we are rapidly selling tickets. Over 80 of you already having purchased your tickets to the Kirk Cousins live event with this radio show. So it's going to be Kirk, Danny, and myself for a special season recap and interview on January 5th at noon at Jam and Java in Vienna. Every penny raised in the ticket sales for this event is going to go to the charity, the DC Dream Center that Kirk chose. You can go to thefandc.com/events for more info. You can purchase tickets right now at jamandjava.com. We had VIP tickets available, which gets you a picture and an autograph if you got your hands on those. There are seated options for you around the table right up near the stage. There are also just road seats for a little bit cheaper as well. So you got plenty of options. You should go right now to jamandjava.com and buy your tickets because they are selling very quickly. You heard Kirk talk about the event yesterday. It's a week from this coming Friday, so we're 9 days away from headed out to Jam and Java. And if you're not going to be there, make sure you listen. It's going to be the most extensive and exclusive content of Kirk Cousins answering a lot of tough questions, not just from me and Danny, but from you guys. He wants to talk directly to listeners and fans of the Redskins who have questions about his future. 12 to 2, live on Grant and Danny next Friday, so make sure you tune in for that. I heard this story yesterday. I think it was CK, our boss here, who told me about this, and I had not seen this at all from this weekend. I love this so much. Not because I think what the player did was smart or okay, but because I cannot believe the lack of awareness shown and just how staggeringly dumb what happened after a ridiculous decision from Earl Thomas to compound one bad decision was. For those of you that don't know that much about Earl Thomas, let's first get into the 28-year-old from Texas. He is one of the best safeties in football. He missed 5 games last year. He missed 2 games this year. Before that, he hadn't missed a single game in his career from 2010 to 2015. He has become one of the best safeties in the National Football League by way of bone-rattling hits, playing within the rules, making plays on the football, couple career touchdowns, 25 career interceptions. He covers ground like a Doppler radar, you know, playing center field. He doesn't miss any tackles. The Legion of Boom kind of took flight the last couple years. Richard Sherman gets a lot of the ink because he's the loud talker and the trash talker. Earl Thomas is the best player in that secondary. Not Cam Chancellor, not Richard Sherman. He has not been healthy, and so his play's fallen off a little bit, but he's going to have another 90-tackle season with a bunch of plays in the passing game. He makes $8.5 million in base salary guaranteed this year. His cap number is about $10.5 million for Seattle, about 5% of their salary cap. And he's the sixth highest paid of 382 safeties in the league. I bring this up only to tell you that Seattle has rewarded him handsomely for the services he has provided. So after the game, the Seahawks beat the Cowboys. Jason Garrett is walking to the locker room, and there is a video. And I don't know why or how anyone's taken it. I think what happened was, you know, a lot of times when the teams walk off the field, remember that you like that video from Kirk Cousins? The media just kind of rolls for video of guys like dejected after a loss walking into the locker room. And so you see Jason Garrett walking by himself. Out of nowhere, from about 20 yards behind him, comes Earl Thomas in full uniform, wearing his Seattle blue on blue. He grabs Jason Garrett around the shoulder, like, and, you know, kind of like, hey, buddy, what's up? Garrett kind of wraps his arm around Thomas, and Thomas is overheard, and we've got audio, hopefully you can make it out, saying, if you have a chance to get me, come get me. Play that. It's very clear when you watch the video what he said. If you have a chance to get me, come get me. And then he proceeds to just kind of keep talking in Garrett's ear a little while longer. So this was perceived to have meant, I think correctly, by the way, that Earl Thomas is saying to the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, hey, man, if I'm available this offseason, I don't know if he thinks maybe he could be released, or when I'm a free agent after next year, I'd love to play for you. Come sign me. Now, a lot of people right away, because this became a huge debate on Twitter, and obviously a lot of Seahawks fans were furious. Some of them said, this isn't what he means. He's just kind of being nice. Who knows what he's saying? Don't make this out to be that he wants to play for the Cowboys. So, naturally, in the locker room, right after the game, the media descends upon his locker to ask Earl Thomas what he was talking about. And this answer on why he said, come get me to Jason Garrett, to me, is worse than even going up and telling Garrett to get you. Listen to this.
We got a great win, played lights out, you know, just emotional. You know, I went to the locker room and talked to Dez, and I saw Coach Garrett, and, you know, I've always been a Cowboys fan growing up. But the biggest thing that, you know, when I say come get me is, I mean, I don't literally mean like come get me now. You know, I'm still in the prime of my career. I still want to be here. But when Seattle kicked me to the curb, please, the Cowboys, come get me here. You know, that's the only place I would rather be, you know, if I get kicked to the curb. So that's what I meant by it. And, you know, people take life too serious. I mean, that's just who I am.
What? I mean, there are so many ways for him to throw cold water on this fire. He didn't do that. A couple of the quotes that stand out to me there. I've always been a Cowboys fan. Who cares, dude? You're not an 11-year-old wearing Dez's jersey in the crowd. You're a safety for Seattle, and you're a Pro Bowler. You're one of the best in the league. You're not a Cowboys fan anymore. When Seattle kicks me to the curve, that's the only place I'd rather be. So basically, you're just lining up your next opportunity before you have one. This is the equivalent to me of texting a chick and saying, hey, if things don't work out with my current girlfriend, will you do me a favor and just wait for me? I know I'm in a relationship right now, and I'm committed, and I'm not allowed to cheat on this person, and they're not allowed to cheat on me. But if she decides at some point that this isn't going to be productive moving forward, hey, girl, me and you, girl. We going to the movies, girl. How about no? How about stop doing this? What a nonsense answer. What a ridiculous thing to say in the locker room by Earl Thomas. I thought the most unaware thing he did was just in front of a bunch of cameras to go up to Jason Garrett and say, come get me. But how about after the fact? Well, you guys have to understand I'm a big Cowboys fan. Are you 14? What are you, a season ticket holder? You excited to go to the end of year press conference with Dez Bryant and the fans? Did you get a Cowboys helmet signed from Tony Romo for Christmas? I'm a Cowboys fan. No, you're an all-pro linebacker for the team that just beat the Cowboys. And you're better than any player on their defense. Please stop being a fan of another team. Well, that's the only place I'd rather be if I get kicked out. How about don't get kicked out? Worry about that when you do lose your job. So I got two questions for you. One, I find this baffling. I find this ridiculous. If I was a Seahawks fan, I would be so upset about this. Localize this to the Redskins, if you would, for me. This is Josh Norman. Actually, that's not even good enough because Norman's kind of hired gun over the last couple seasons. Earl Thomas is born and bred Seahawk. He's core Seattle. So let's go. This is Ryan Kerrigan. That's who this has to be. And I won't make it the Cowboys because of the rivalry, but I'll say Ryan Kerrigan runs up to NFC West, non-Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan division.
Green Bay.
Okay, I'll take that. Ryan Kerrigan runs up to Mike McCarthy after a game and says, hey, you got to come get me if I'm available. And then when asked about it, he goes, I'm a big Packers fan, guys. I love the Packers growing up. And if I get kicked out of the Redskins locker room, I want to be a Packer. How would you feel about that? That is my question. 800-636-1067. No Danny, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 1067, the Fan. Without Danny today, I'm March on, hanging out with you guys. Next hour, get into the Redskins as they prepare for the New York Giants in Week 17. I like this discussion, though, and I like this topic going around the NFL a little bit. Earl Thomas is an outstanding safety with the Seahawks. 32 teams in the league would want him and start him. 31 of them that don't have him would be lucky to add him to their roster. He grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. He's from Texas. After the game, video rolling of Jason Garrett and the Cowboys coming off the field, walking to the locker room. Earl Thomas is seen running up to Garrett and saying to the head coach of the Cowboys, come get me. It was taken by a lot of people the way that he said it to mean, hey, when I'm available, I want you guys to sign me. Mind you, this is fairly illegal by NFL standards anyway, just so we're all on the same page. Agents are not allowed to contact teams when a player's under contract and talk about the future and what might happen. And if this guy's available, we want you to sign him. That's called tampering. Teams aren't allowed to do anything. And Jason Garrett is uncomfortable with the whole thing, obviously. He just kind of keeps walking into the locker room like, this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. His sensors are going off. But I'm just kind of localizing this to Washington. I want to know what Redskins fans would be thinking. How about this? I want to hear from you guys on this. Remember all the talk about Kirk Cousins to the Broncos leading up to last week's game? What if Kirk Cousins and John Elway were on the field right after the game and an NFL Network mic caught Kirk Cousins saying to Elway, "Hey, if I'm free available this year, I'd love to play for you guys. You have a great organization." How would you feel about that as a Redskins fan? I'll bet you'd feel like he's got 1 foot here and 1 foot out the door. I'll bet you would probably be disappointed in Kirk Cousins if he did that. Yet, a lot of people on Twitter already, at Grant H. Paulson, are telling me, I'm the crazy one here because I think that this is a dumb thing that he did. Jedi says, I wouldn't care at all. It makes it funnier because of the 12s losing their poo about it. That's a weird way to word it, but okay. Well, yeah, it's funny. I think it's funny how unaware this dude is. Real Guy Loren says, it's a bad look, but it's true. At some point, they will kick you to the curb, as he said. If he wants to go to Dallas at the tail end of his career, okay. Fine. Do you really think that one two-sentence comment to Jason Garrett in December of 2017, a year and a half before you're a free agent, is going to make it more or less likely that the Cowboys want to sign you? Guess what? It isn't. It's not going to. You could still become a Cowboy. You could do it like every other player since the beginning of time has done it. While you're on a team, you don't tell other teams at games, on microphone, on video, hey, sign me this offseason. Because when you become a free agent, your agent calls the Dallas Cowboys, or weeks before that, because tampering does happen, when nobody's watching on national television, and says, hey guys, Earl would love to play for you. Any interest? We're trying to figure out which teams are going to be interested, how much money this is going to take. Just do it the way it's always been done. Let's go to Mo in Fort Washington. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Grant? How you doing, man? How was Christmas?
Oh, it was great. Had a good holiday. How about you?
All right, all right. Hey, man, I agree with you and some of the Twitter responses you're getting. I mean, it's stupid, but I find it rather funny. You know, I mean, it's not really a big deal. But what I equate it to the Redskins, I mean, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but the smart way to do it would be how Kirk Cousins did it. You have to get someone on the radio who does everything for you. That way you don't have to say anything, regardless of if it was intentional or not. That is one of the smartest things I've seen done.
Is your allegation that we do talking for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, you guys and the station itself. Like I said, I think it's rather smart. It worked like a charm.
I
actually like the guy as well. I think he can play, but I think that was one of the smartest things that could have happened. You know, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to make any mistakes in the media.
Well, he still has to deal with the media all the time. I mean, he does weekly press conferences, he does TV interviews, he does media all the time. So he could still, quote unquote, make mistakes. I would take issue with the idea that we do Kirk Cousins bidding for him, but you can feel that way if you'd like to. That's your prerogative. Let's go to Ashton in Annapolis. What's up, Ashton?
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
Good.
Happy Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa to you.
You too, buddy.
So I look at it, I think, two ways. One, I think that players rarely have any leverage in the NFL, and it's a business. So I don't think him saying, hey, you got an opportunity to come get me, is a big deal. I feel like if you have an opportunity to, I don't know, leverage yourself to play for your childhood football team, which is every kid who plays sports dream, you know, why wouldn't you do that? And I think when he was, and secondly, obviously, I don't think he knew when he said that it was going to be, you know, recorded. I think it happens more than you think where guys would say, hey, I'd love to play for you. Or, I mean, look at the NBA.
That I agree with.
LeBron and D-Wade.
Yeah, that I agree with. The NBA is a culture where everyone kind of texts all the time about playing together. But I agree with you. I do think probably, look, there's all the handshakes and hugs and smiling after games, and all these guys are buddies. So I'm sure that in the past, guys have been like, dude, it'd be awesome to be with you guys next year. But my point is, first, why would you do it? You can see several people with their camera phones as he's running along this trail. He should see that. He should know that people are recording. And let's just say that he said that, and he didn't know he was going to get filmed, and we'll give him a benefit of the doubt. When you're now approached in the locker room right after, do better than saying, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. If I get kicked to the curb, that's where I want to be. How about you just say, Oh, I wasn't talking about that. I was saying if he ever needs anything, he knows where to find me. I'm happy to help him. Make something up. Don't sit there and make it worse. His answer to the media afterwards was dumber than what he actually did. EJ in D.C., what's up?
Yeah, how you doing, Grant?
Good, thank you.
What I'm saying is I think you're taking this a little too serious, and why should he have to make something up instead of saying what's on his mind? I mean, football is a business. If he tears ACL and all that right now, they're going to kick him to the curb. And if he gets kicked to the curb, he's just letting you know, I'm from Texas, and I would like to go play at home. I don't see a big deal with it.
Well, he doesn't have to tell Jason Garrett that right after a game. You don't think that he could?
I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think it happens like the caller before me said. I think it probably happens more often than we think.
So you wouldn't care if Ryan Kerrigan came up to Mike McCarthy of the Packers after the game and said that? You wouldn't care?
No, because I know Ryan Kerrigan going to play hard as he can while he's with us. And when he goes somewhere else, he's gone somewhere else.
So that's Kirk, like Cousins says to John Elway after Sunday's game, hey, sign me this offseason. You're cool with that?
And I wouldn't have no problem with it, because if Bruce Allen and them would have signed him, he wouldn't be in that situation.
Well, he is. But Earl Thomas is signed, is the point. He's due to make close to $10 million from Seattle next year. 800-636-1067 is the number. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. Maybe I am the only one here that sees this as ridiculous. Apparently I am. It's weird that more players don't do this all the time then, because it's apparently just such a smart business move, and phone calls can't happen in the offseason when you actually court teams. By the way, he's under contract. I mean, do you guys in your personal lives line up girls for after your relationships end while you're in the middle of a relationship? How is that any different? Grant and Danny, no Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.